It's great to be here with you for this series. I'm really excited for this series that we've been working on for a while. It's called Turn It Up to 11, and I want to just put you at ease. I know I'm the worship pastor. I know I play electric guitar sometimes, and I know there's a lot of amplifiers and speakers on stage, but you don't need to move toward the back, and you don't need to grab your ear protection. We're not going to just blast you with volume. We're not going to just be obnoxiously loud and just fill your life with noise. We might do that sometime, but we're not going to do that in this series. But what I want you to do instead is think about this as a way that we want to encourage you to turn your life up to 11. Turn the volume of your life up to 11. Your boldness, your passion, your commitment to worship, turn that up to 11. And I'm excited that I get to share the first week of this. I don't know what Glenn was thinking, but here I am. So as the worship pastor, I'm excited to share the first step that I believe is on this journey, a very critical step that I think often gets overlooked. It's the step of preparing your heart to meet with God on a Sunday. When NFL players come into the league, they learn very early that they need to have skin in the game. That they're not going to be able to just sit on the recliner and punch up Amazon Prime and order their championship trophies or rings. They can't do that. They can't study the playbook just the night before the game and expect to be prepared. They have to prepare hard all week so that when game time comes on Sunday, they are ready to perform at a high level. And when we look at worship, when we ourselves are getting ready for Sunday, we need to have that level of preparation. So this morning, I'd be willing to bet that everyone in this room has had to prepare for something very monumental in your life. And for each of us, that might be different. Maybe that was practicing something really hard. Maybe that was studying something really hard. Having a meeting, contacting the right people. Whatever it is, scheduling, setting priorities, you have probably had to prepare for something in your life. Because you know and have learned that preparation leads to success. That you can't have real good success unless you prepare. And over the years, I have been able to help many people move. Many. And I've even been able to help a few people move multiple times. And I can remember a few years ago, I had the opportunity to help my cousin move for the third time in very few number of years. And I can remember just being amazed at the science they had gotten to with their moving. See, they already had everything boxed up, everything labeled, everything put into two rooms so that it was ready to load on the truck. We got it to the right location very quickly, unloaded it, and they had the pizza delivery scheduled for the right time, because man, as soon as we were done unloading, the pizza showed up. They had it down to a science. But I can also remember walking into houses where everything was still on the shelves and everything was just in shambles and nothing was done. And I can remember just thinking, I wonder if they think there's a magical process that all of their stuff is just gonna float into boxes that aren't there, and the boxes that are gonna float into a truck that isn't there yet, and the truck is somehow going to magically arrive at its destination with nothing damaged, and nothing will take very long. I mean, it shouldn't take very long, right? Moving is easy. When we come to church on a Sunday, it's easy to come with that same level of unpreparation, where we're not ready. And Sundays are busy. Mornings are busy. And we've all maybe tried to map out a day in our heads and thought of all the activities we have during a day. And we get ourselves ready as we can be. But it can be easy to show up at church and be thinking about everything except church. It happens to all of us. It's happened to me. I'm sure it's happened to you. And over the years, it's happened to me enough that God has been showing me, hey, you need to be more prepared. You need to come prepared before Sunday even starts. In fact, there's several tenets that I'd like to share with you, but because of time, I only have time for a few. There's three tenets I believe that will help us get into the routines and into the practices that will lead us to a path where we can worship and be prepared to worship on a Sunday. And the first of these is that we need to be ready to give something to God. We need to learn how to give God something of our time, something of our treasure, something of our talent that will show him that his time, his benefit is more important than ours. Worship could really be called worth-ship because it lets God know how much we think that he's actually worth. In scripture, there's a lot of examples of giving and how that's connected to worship. You know, giving is connected. But the one book that everyone always goes to when they're speaking on worship is the same one I'm going to go to. It's the book of Psalms. And the reason is because psalm actually means sacred song. And David, who wrote most of the Psalms, says the following in Psalm 66, a chapter and verse that we rarely reference in worship. It says, I will come to your temple with burnt offerings and fulfill my vows to you. Vows my lips promised and my mouth spoke when I was in trouble. Now, this doesn't seem like a very catchy song to me. Maybe it doesn't to you either. I mean, maybe it seems a lot different from a lot of the songs that we sing here in church. And rest assured, Psalm 66 does go on and talk about how we should praise God and give thanks to God and all the things that we do sing here often. And those are all valid and all very important. But why this? Why does David have this in his song? Why write this in? Let's break it down. First, David speaks about coming into the temple with an offering, with a burnt offering. See, when David came to worship in the temple, which is where he worshiped his church, when he came to worship, he did not ever come empty-handed. Never. He didn't bring a burnt offering because God really wanted, you know, just some meat, or God really needed his grain or his incense. God doesn't need that. See, what he did was he wanted to show God how much God mattered to him. That's what he wanted to do. And the idea of sacrifice is that you take something that means something and you give it to someone who means more. That's the idea of sacrifice. In the Old Testament, God required burnt offerings like this as a way of atoning for sins or reminding man that it has a propensity to sin or that God has the power to forgive. All those things were important. But what's important for us this morning is that when we bring something to God, it has to be of the highest possible quality. You can't just go out. They couldn't just go out. David couldn't go out and just walk through a field, find something flammable, chuck it into the fire, walk away, call it a day. God was not going to be pleased with that. See, whatever was being sacrificed had to mean something. You couldn't just go pick something. You needed to spend time. You needed to have a process. You needed to pick just the right thing to bring to God. It took your time and it took effort. It took planning. And all of this was something David did before he ever got to the temple. Now, if you've ever heard me speak, you know that I have a blessing and curse of looking back and seeing scripture and thinking, huh, I wonder what that would be like for me today if I had to do that. And so bear with me for a minute. I'm going to just walk through a routine for you. So this might be your routine. It may be somebody you know. But Sunday morning rolls around. You drag yourself out of bed. Your alarm clock goes off. And amidst muttering, you get up. You drag yourself out of bed. You brush your teeth. You comb your hair. You eat your breakfast, you brush your teeth, then you realize your spouse is still snoring, so you get them out of bed, and they complain about you and tell you all sorts of things, and you get them up, and you say, hey, you haven't eaten yet, so you help them get breakfast, and you help them, you know, with whatever. Then you realize your kids are still sleeping, so you get them up, and you try to get them to brush their teeth, and you try to get them to eat, and you try to make sure that they each have two shoes, and that they actually match, and you get everyone in the car at the same time. It's a small miracle. As you're driving to church, you're thinking, I left the milk on the counter, I forgot this and this for so-and-so, and we have to leave church by 12 noon because we have a family function. You finally drag yourself through the doors. You say, I'm going to collapse into my regular seat, and just as the band stops playing, you arrive. For a lot of people, that's a typical Sunday. But notice, there's not a single burnt offering involved here. None of us brought meat with us. Maybe some of you did. I didn't. But there's no burnt offerings unless breakfast went wrong. So what if you had to spend more time preparing during your week for worship? What if I had to bring God something of an offering? What if I had to bring him a burnt offering? So imagine that Sunday morning routine I just drilled through. And now imagine that you have to add something else. You have to add an offering. So now you also have to get out there on Friday night and you drive to Costco and you are there with the 47,000 other people that are always at Costco on a Friday night. I don't get it, but they're there. So you scan the meat aisle. You see hamburger meat. Oh, it's cheap. It's easy. It's quick. It's not good enough for God. So you see top sirloin and you say, you know what, that's a little better, but you know, it's juicy, it's a little pricier, it's still not good enough. You spot filet mignon and you say, it's delicious, it's expensive, it's perfect. So you grab it, you get in line, you bang your head against the cart as you wait for the line to move, you finally get through, you take it home, you marinate it, you let it sit all through Saturday, you come in through Sunday, you get through your routine, you bring your marinated filet mignon to Glenn. Glenn takes it, he throws it into the furnace, and it's vaporized immediately. That's right. That offering that you just spent all that time, money, energy, and everything, getting it ready, doing everything you could for it, bringing it into service, is gone in an instant. That filet mignon that is probably better food maybe than you even feed yourself or your family, that thing that you spent more time on than your typical meal, it's gone. So isn't this sort of wasteful? Why would God want that? See, the purpose behind this whole process isn't to drive up the profit margins at Costco, and it's not to make you think about God just for a moment. It's to help you think about God for the entire week. It's simply to teach you that everything that you have, everything that you are, is a gift from God and can be used as a gift. The filet mignon has meaning because it is best, the best that you had to offer God. It's the best you could give God. Your time that you spent getting it ready had value because it was the best you could give God. You were sacrificing it. And he's always pleased when you give God your best. God is always pleased with that, no matter how much value you assign to your offering. So with that same God-centered attitude, that is what David did before he got to the temple. He selected the right offering, something that meant something to him, something that mattered to him. Because he knew that bringing God his best in worship was not just a one-day thing. It was all week long. It was a daily pursuit. And when we pursue God intentionally, when we say we're doing that, it takes our self-improvement-based life. Sometimes it gets a little selfish. It takes that self-improvement-based life and it puts it into perspective with the value of the creator of the universe. That's what it's designed to do. The second tenet that we need to observe for worship is that we need to be honest with where we stand before God. So now let's rewind all the way back to Psalm 66 again and take the other half of that strange verse. It says, I will come to your temple with burnt offerings and fulfill my vows to you. Vows my lips promised and my mouth spoke when I was in trouble. You know, reading this, it just kind of struck me that, you know, David's trying to say, sort of blame his mouth. Like, hey, my mouth did that. Like, that's different from me, you know. But anyway, he says that my mouth spoke these things when I was in trouble. And this verse gets overlooked way too often. David is saying here that he is going to go back and think about all the things that he has promised God, all the things that he has said to God, and he's going to actually do them. He's actually going to do the things he said he would do. Now, did you ever make a quick promise to God under your breath? Like, God, if you can make this boar fest of a meeting end, I promise I'll do this. Or, God, if the Eagles win the Super Bowl, I promise I'll stop swearing. You know who you are. Some of you have done that. Or, God, hey, if you get me out of this jam, I promise I'll serve you faithfully forever. Well, David was in danger for a good portion of his life. He was always running from someone or fighting someone. And it stands to reason that in those times that he whispered a few of those quick prayers, you know. But here's the thing about David that compares to us. A lot of times we say those prayers and we want to forget them. Well, David here is saying, I want to remember them. I want to go back and I want to think about them. All those things I told God I would do, I want to remember them. And sometimes it's true for David, I think, that when he whispered those prayers, they were honest prayers. Because he was in trouble, and he knew that when he was in trouble, he went to God for help. And that may be the case for you as well. Now, if you promise to move to Antarctica and open a soup kitchen for penguins or something, that's between you and God. That's not what David did. But if you said to God, hey, God, if I serve you with my life, or God, if you get me out of this jam, I'll serve you with my life, be careful, because he was probably listening. The honesty, though, goes even further than just those simple prayers or vows. It also means that if you have sin in your life, if you've got a barrier that's keeping you from entering into true worship, you need to be honest about that with God. Now, notice I did not say that you have to have it figured out. I didn't say that you have to be perfect, because if you did, I wouldn't be here. It'd be very empty here. He doesn't say that you have to be perfect. He says you have to be honest with what you are dealing with and be motivated to change it and get better. And scripture backs that up. I'm going to read something to you from Isaiah, but before I do, I just want to let you know, this is ancient Israel is the setting. Ancient Israel is the line of David. It's the house of David. And this is his country. And he has been, his country has been faithfully making sacrifices. They're following God. But here's what it says in Isaiah 1:11. And you can follow along in your scripture if you want. If not, it's okay. I'm going to read fast. The multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me, says the Lord? I have more than enough of burnt offerings, of rams, and the fat of fattened animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you, this trampling of my courts? Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths, and convocations, I cannot bear your worthless assemblies, your new moon feasts, and your appointed festivals, I hate with all my being. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I hide my eyes from you. Even when you offer many prayers, I am not listening. Wow, that is straight fire from God. Why is God so upset? I mean, Israel's doing what he had asked them to do. They're offering their sacrifices. They're observing the right customs. They're doing everything right. But it's all an act. See, they're pretending to be in right standing with God, but in reality, their hearts are not. They're not really being honest. See, the chapter goes on in Isaiah to talk about how Israel's full of murderers and thieves and liars. Israel has stopped defending the weak. They have stopped providing for the poor. They have, in general, just stopped being good people. They stood before God. They looked clean on the outside, but on the inside, they were filthy. See, God isn't interested in how well we can run a religious ceremony. He's not interested in how cleanly you can pray and how great you are as a singer. He cares about the condition of your heart. That's what he cares about. He wants you to be honest with your stuff. You see, if the people of Israel in this chapter had come and said, God, we have really screwed up. We're a mess, but we want to get better. God would have been a million times more willing, more happy to deal with them, to entreat with them, to work with them and get them better. But instead, they came to him looking like a rose but smelling like sewage, and God saw it a mile away. So you know what that means for us today? It means that maybe God has more for you and I than just showing up to church at Christmas and Easter. Maybe God has more for us to think about on spiritual matters more than just an hour a week. Maybe God wants us to live for him during the week and not just on Sunday mornings. Maybe God wants us to step up and serve rather than just filling a seat. Maybe God wants us to serve even if it's a little inconvenient. Maybe God wants us to do more than just serve time at church and then go home and call it good. See, our actions reflect our heart. They always will. If we are truly chasing God, then it should show up during the week. It should be intentional all week long. Sometimes it'll be harder. Sometimes it's very, very hard. But it's always best if we're honest with God. Because when we're honest with God about what we're thinking, what we're feeling, how we're hurting, God hears that. God wants that because it will free us to worship him as we should, as an honest expression of our love. Finally, there's time for one more. We need to prepare to worship as a participant, not as a spectator. I'm going to say that one more time because it's important. We need to prepare to worship as a participant, not as a spectator. See, I'm the worship pastor at LifePoint, and I've been doing this for probably close to 10 years, and did it before that too. And I've led worship through all different seasons in my life. I've seen the struggles and I've seen the joys. I've seen the good and the bad, the hard and the easy. I have never once though, not even for a moment, for one instance, ever figured out how I could worship for someone else. I cannot worship for you. See, the worship team, they can work very hard and they can create an atmosphere that's conducive for you to worship God. We can pick out really good music and play it skillfully so that you are encouraged to seek God. We can pick out lyrics that will really encourage you and point the right way, but that's as far as we can go. See, Glenn can spend hours poring over his life connection so that it is going to make the maximum impact for you and how God's kingdom can grow. Josh can spend days and weeks spent pouring time into your youth and into your students. In fact, he's doing that right now at Creation. Bill, he can spend time writing curriculum. He can spend time creating environments that are good for your kids so that they can learn and grow and that they're safe while they do it. Aaron can spend time connecting people to one another so that they can grow and learn together. And Andrew, who interns with us, he can spend a lot of time on technology, making sure that as few things break as possible so that there's few distractions when we worship. But all of this, not even the nearly 100 volunteers that help with every service, none of it, not one person, not a single human being in that service can worship for you. Not one of them. Only you can worship for you. And that's a decision that you need to make before you even get here. Are you going to worship? You need to decide if you are going to worship or if you are going to watch. See, there's a stark contrast. See, when I get ready to watch a Cowboys game, and I'm a Cowboys fan, throw your tomatoes later, save them till after the service is all I ask. I deserve to get some tomatoes. But I am a Cowboys fan, and when I watch them on TV, I do four things. See, I set my DVR so that I don't miss anything if I have to get up for any reason. I get my water and my snacks together, make sure I have plenty of those. Then I prepare to watch one of our best players, Sean Lee, get injured every game because he always does. He always pulls a hamstring without fail. And I also prepare to watch them play two great quarters and two terrible quarters, lose by three and go home every time. And I've been doing that for 20 years or more. But I never, ever want to have the mindset that I'm going to do that when I get ready to worship for a Sunday. I never want to have that mindset. See, I don't want to drag myself into church and plop down in my chair and watch. I want to be prepared to participate. There's things in my life that I need to release to God every week because I'm not perfect. I bring a lot of baggage in with me sometimes, and I need to release that. And I have a hunger to worship alongside all of you because all of you are trying to get better. You're all trying to go closer to God, or else you wouldn't be here. And that there's something to that. There's something special in that, worshiping together with other people who are all trying to get better. There's a power in that that maybe I can't put my finger on, but I want part of it. See, I can't sit on the sidelines and watch. I need to draw closer to God. Sunday mornings provide a great atmosphere for me to do that because it's the one place I can go during my week that everything is aligned pointing to God. The way is much easier because the atmosphere points us to God and the words point us to God and the life connection points us to God. Everything is a path to God on a Sunday morning. And I need that because I'm a pretty easy distracted guy. The worship team would tell you, I get distracted. So when it's all pointing toward God, it's a lot easier. And I don't want to sit on the sidelines. I don't want to sit on the sidelines just so I can tell my friends, hey, yeah, I go to church. Because that'll make me wise or cool or spiritual, I don't know. I don't want to just be able to say that. I want to get in the game. I don't want to tell God that he has my attention. God could get my attention. That's easy. I don't want to tell him he has my attention. I want to tell him he has my life, that he has my respect, that he has my love. I want to tell God that he has everything I am. He has my all. So this morning, I'm going to challenge you as I challenge myself this morning, and as I challenge myself when I lead, and as I challenge myself a lot of days when I get up and don't feel like it. Prepare for worship this week. Think about what you can offer God. Your talents are different from mine. That's the way God intended it, because I can't do everything you can do. Think about how you can use it to give God more time and attention. What talents can you offer to God? Do you feel like God isn't there for you? Tell him. Be honest. Do you feel like there's stuff going on in your life that you need to share with someone? Tell God. Do you feel like there's a significant obstacle in your way? Tell God. Do you feel like there's a relationship that is dragging you down? Tell God. Be honest. Don't come in and pretend it's all okay. Tell him what you're dealing with. That is your offering in worship. Again, don't be perfect. Be honest. Think about whether or not you are being a spectator or being a participant. This morning, if you're reflecting right now and think, man, I just participated in worship. I feel good. That's awesome. But if you're here and you say, I just spectated. I came in here. I couldn't even tell you what songs we just sang. Examine that. See if maybe God wants you to participate in a different way. Get your mind more in tune. And finally, are you serving God with all that you are, or are you watching from the sidelines? Because God will work through other people and you can watch him do it, but it's way better if you get in the process and get involved. When you step up and serve, that's the way God intended it, because you actually get something out of it. You aren't doing it just to benefit God. God made you to do that so that you would benefit also. So get in the game. God deserves the best we have, the best we have. So I encourage you to give it to him. Offer him that this morning. Give him all that you are. Pray with me as I close. God, I just thank you so much that you provide this place, that you provide this atmosphere where we can see you and approach you. Lord God, I stand right here this morning and know that I've got all kinds of stuff I need to deal with on a regular basis. Lord, that I need to offer you my mistakes, my problems, my hang-ups, my issues. Lord, that there's things, Lord, that I need to fight all the time. But Lord, I pray that if there's others here like me, Lord, if there's others here that are fighting battles just to get here, just to make it through another day, Lord, I pray, first of all, that they would know that they're not alone because all of us here are struggling in some way. But also, Lord, because you stand beside them, And Lord, if they're honest with you, worship can happen for them. Lord, we stand before you today knowing, Lord, that you are worth more than we could ever give. That there is no burnt offering, there is no sacrifice that we could ever make. Lord, that would be enough. But Lord, you ask something very simple. You ask for us to be intentional, to spend time with you, to give back to you something that you've already given us, that it's already yours. That's what you ask. And Lord, I just pray that each person here that may be feeling like they don't have anything to offer you or feeling like you're far away, Lord, I pray that they would know your presence today. Lord, I pray that as they're honest with you and as they offer, as we offer, Lord God, the best that we have, that you would be pleased and that you would enter into our lives in a new way, that you would enter into our hearts and show us, Lord God, how to be better. Because Lord, that is our worship. That is our sense, Lord God, of how much you are worth, our best. So Lord, be with us today as we give you our best, because that's what you deserve. In your name I pray, amen.